Nora studied Bree's profile, remembering her as she had been, carefree, bold, and assured in her boldness, standing on the steps of the administration building. Where had that young girl gone? How had she become this woman, so lean and determined, so forceful and so solitary? "Oh, Bree," Nora managed at last.
"It's not a death sentence, Nora."
Bree was speaking crisply now, focused and determined, as if she were giving an overview of accounts receivable.
"More like a wake-up call. I did some reading, and my chances really are very good. And I was thinking this morning that if there's not a support group for women like me, I'm going to start one."
Nora smiled.
"That sounds just like you. That's the most reassuring thing you've said yet."
They drove in silence for a few minutes longer, and then Nora added,
"But you didn't tell me. All those years ago when you were unhappy, you never told me."
"Right," Bree said. "I'm telling you now."
Nora put her hand on Bree's knee, feeling her sister's heat, her thinness.
"What can I do?"
"Just go on, day by day. I'm on the prayer list at church, and that helps."
Nora looked at her sister, her short, stylish hair, her sharp profile, wondering how to respond. About a year ago, Bree had started attending a small Episcopalian church near her home. Nora had gone with her once, but the service, with its complex rituals of kneeling and standing, prayer and silence, had made her feel inept, an outsider. She had sat stealing glances at the others in the pews, wondering what they were feeling, what had made them get out of bed and come here to church on this beautiful Sunday morning. It was hard to see any mystery, hard to see anything but the clear light in a group of tired, hopeful, dutiful people. She had never gone back. But now she found herself suddenly, fiercely grateful for whatever solace her sister had gathered, for whatever she'd found in that quiet church that Nora hadn't seen. The world flashed by. Grass, trees, sky. Then, increasingly, buildings. They had entered Louisville now, and Bree was merging into the heavy traffic on I-71, into swift lanes full of rushing cars. The parking lot of the police station was nearly full, shimmering faintly in the noon sun. They got out of the car, their slammed doors echoing, and walked along a concrete sidewalk bordered by a series of small, tired bushes, through the revolving doors, and into the dim, underwater light inside. Paul was on a bench on the far side of the room, hunched over, his elbows on his knees and his hands dangling loosely between them. Nora's heart caught. She walked past the desk and the officers, wading through that thick sea-green air to her son. It was hot in the room. A fan turned almost imperceptibly against the stained acoustic tiles on the ceiling. She sat down beside Paul on the bench. He hadn't bathed. His hair was thick and greasy, and beneath the stink of sweat and dirty clothes, the odor of cigarettes clung to him. Acrid, sharp smells, the smells of a man.